From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the third day of November 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll get the latest update of crop conditions and harvest progress across Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota with the state statisticians from those three states, and an update on what's happened across the United States as well as it relates to corn and soybean production and wheat planting. And then we'll check in with Gary Schnitke. He's penned a new article for the Farm Doc Daily website, kind of just an article of interest about where corn and soybeans are planted and in how much, or, you know, percentage-wise between the ratio across one state to the other. So we'll hear all about that, and then we'll take our time to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day and hear the agricultural energies and about that marketplace with Harry Cooney from GrowMark. And it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day up 3.5 cents, finished at $4.01. The March at 407, rather 406, up 4.25. May at 409, 4.5 higher, and July at $4.10 a bushel, up 4.25. Next year's December, $3.89 3/4, 2.25 higher. November beans up 8.25, $10.59. January 10.64 1/4, 12 higher. March up 10.50 at 12.5 cents higher, 10.57 3/4 the settlement price, and July beans at 10.53 3/4, up 11 3/4. The bean oil 59 cents higher. The bean meal up $2.10. Wheat futures soft red in Chicago, up 3 at 6.02. The hard red there at 5.71.5, up 3.5 cents. Live cattle futures down 72.5 for the day at $107.82.5. In the December, February 22.5 lower at 110.30. Feeder cattle in the November at 136.12.5, down 85 cents for the afternoon. And lean hogs per 100 pounds down 55 cents. They finished at $65.40 on this Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, now joins us to talk about this turnaround Tuesday. Hey, that's a pretty good day in Chicago. Soybeans were up fairly sharply, though I think they haven't done much since they opened higher. Can you tell me how the marketplace ensued overnight and into the day trade?
Well, I think you said it all right there. That sort of we went here, we sat here, and went on. The dollar's down sharply today, but crude oil's up good. The equities and the stock market's up good, and we're feeling that commodities are somewhat of the thing to trade here right now. We're feeling that if Biden wins, we're going to get a nice stimulus check, and we figure if Trump wins, we're going to get a good stock market to continue. So the stock market rebounded on either win, I guess. So at least that's what they said in the news wires. Then we had the old Informa, now it's IHS Market. They come out and they come with a yield of 175.7 on the corn. The USDA in October is 178.4. And also in the beans, they went from the government of 51.9 and they went to a 50.8. And that, of course, makes the bean stocks a lot tighter in the, you know, stocks to use ratio. So that was another thing that helped the beans.
What are we thinking about the rest of the week?
Oh, the rest of the week, you know, we may or may not have a new president tomorrow, and that's going to affect how some of the equity markets look. But I mean, all in all, the bean progress on when they looked at the harvest progress was much slower than what they thought it would be. And by what the old Informa here is telling us, that the crops are tailing off on the later planted crops and the later harvested crops, and they're looking for the report on the 10th to have some lower production numbers. So along with that, why maybe we've got a little bit of base build in here. We went down, tested some support, and we're going to see whether we can rally out of here now, add more to the rally tomorrow.
Are you of a mind that what has been happening over the last 3 months, or last month and a half in particular, is just a fill-the-gap kind of function based on late planting out of South America, Brazil in particular, or is there real new demand that has developed across the planet?
Well, I think a little bit of both, and I think part of it is we got a little extra idea that we can maybe ship some more out, take some of our stocks down with that 2 weeks 10 days to 2 weeks delay in planning in South America. We've also got the idea that, you know, there is the La Nina that is developing, whether it's going to be strong or weak or whatever, but it is taking away and cutting back on some of that production out of South America, or potentially for next year's crop on that. And we've got a real tight situation of getting things out of the farmers' hands here and getting them moved down to the Gulf or the Pacific Northwest. At Cynic, Illinois today, we saw that the corn bases on the river there jumped 10 cents a bushel. So as harvest winds down, why the commercials don't have all the corn or beans in their hands that they'd like to have at this point in time, Todd.
Anything for farmers to think about today before I let you go?
I think just keep an eye on things. Corn, above $4, why it's better to maybe look at selling a rally. But below $4, why I think we hang on to it.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. He joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online and listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that right there on our website at willag.org, willag.org. On the website, just click and play the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That's our weekly look at agricultural markets. You see the latest opinions from the Farm Doc Daily folks, like, well, an ag economist, Gary Schnitke, who you'll hear coming up shortly this afternoon in his brand new article. You can see all the details of it today right there at Farm Doc Daily or at willag.org. And of course, you can find a list of podcast applications you can use to hear our agricultural program. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that 82% of the corn crop around the nation has now been harvested. The rolling five-year average, by the way, is just 69%. 87% of the soybeans are in the bin. 83% is the rolling five-year average. A quick look at the winter wheat crop shows us 89% has now been planted. 86% is the five-year average. 71% of the crop is up and growing. The five-year average is 70%. The condition of the crop, not great by comparison to last year in particular. 37% good, 6% excellent. Last year, those numbers were 45% good and 12% excellent. Now, here are updates from the statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota.
This is Melissa Couch, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. Rain and snow early in the week, along with cooler temperatures, limited Iowa farmers to 5.3 days suitable for field work during the week ending November 1, 2020. Field work activities reported included harvesting corn and soybeans, baling corn stalks, applying fertilizer and manure, moving grain to town, and tillage. Only 13% of Iowa's corn for grain crop remains to be harvested, over 3 weeks ahead of last year and 13 days ahead of the five-year average. Statewide, the moisture content of field corn being harvested for grain fell 1 percentage point to 15%. Farmers in northwest, north central, and west central Iowa have less than 10% of their corn for grain remaining to be harvested, while farmers in south central Iowa still have over 30% to be harvested. Only 3% of Iowa's soybean crop remains to be harvested, just over 3 weeks ahead of last year and 2 weeks ahead of average. Farmers in northwest, north central, and west central Iowa have few fields left to harvest, with 1% or less of their soybeans remaining. In contrast, farmers in the southern one-third of the state have 9 to 10% of their soybeans left to be harvested. Livestock producers continue to allow cattle to graze on corn stalks. For the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was cold across the prairie state and wet in southern counties, but much drier in the north. Rainfall totals range from close to zero in northwestern Illinois to nearly 3.5 inches in southeastern parts of the state. The overall average for Illinois was nearly 1 inch of rain, 2/10 of an inch above normal. Temperatures averaged 41.8 degrees and were generally 10 degrees below normal for the week. Soil temperatures range from the upper 30s in northern Illinois to the upper 40s in southern parts of the state. There were 4.5 days suitable for field work across Illinois. Farmers use those days to harvest corn and soybeans, plant winter wheat, apply fertilizers, and do fall tillage chores. Soybeans are now 93% harvested, compared to 75% last year and 88% for the five-year average. Corn harvest advanced to 89% finished, compared to 57% 1 year ago and 83% normally. Winter wheat planting is 94% finished, compared to 81% 1 year ago and 84% normally. 82% of wheat acres have emerged. The condition of the Illinois wheat crop was rated 8% very poor to poor, 21% fair, and 71% good to excellent. That is better than the previous week. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Favorable weather conditions allowed the corn for grain harvest to continue during the week. There were 3.9 days suitable for field work as snow melt left some fields and pastures muddy. Field activities included fall tillage, harvesting corn for grain, and manure and fertilizer application. Snowmelt increased both topsoil and subsoil moisture supplies statewide. Corn for grain harvest was 83% complete. That's 3 weeks ahead of last year and 10 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn moisture content of grain at harvest remained at 17%. The sunflower harvest was nearly complete at 97% harvested. That's 40 days ahead of last year and 4 weeks ahead of the five-year average. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
And I'm Todd Gleason from Illinois Extension. Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress all during the growing season. We're joined by Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Hey, Gary, thanks for being with us. You know, this most recent Farm Doc Daily article that you and the others have posted up to the website was kind of a question I've been pondering for a while, and it's mostly out of interest more than anything else, but it does give you some insight, I suppose, into the, you know, differences across the Corn Belt. You take the Corn Belt states. I think they're all Corn Belt states, yeah. And there are 12 of them. And then map corn and soybean acre ratios on them for the last, what, for 2015 to 2019, so for 5 years there. And it shows things that we know, I guess. So we know that Central Illinois is mostly 50-50. We know that Iowa and, you know, the further north you go in Iowa, the heavier the corn. But maybe not as much as you would have thought. But, you know, those upper 2/3 of Iowa is heavier corn. We knew that. And we also kind of knew that North Dakota had come into soybean rotation. Although in this, it sure looks like North Dakota and part of Minnesota are really heavy into soybeans. I guess that reflects the export market. What'd you make of it? I know it was kind of something you all put together just as an exercise more than anything else, I think.
Yeah. So we've always looked at Illinois, and we know corn is heavier in the northern part of the state. Central part is central Illinois is roughly 50-50. And then you go into southern Illinois, there's more soybeans than corn. So we extended that. It's sort of the map is what you would expect to be, I guess. A couple, I guess, surprising things to me were that Indiana and Ohio have more soybeans in their rotation than corn. So we see more soybeans in Ohio and the Eastern Corn Belt than in, they look a lot like Southern Illinois, actually. And that sort of surprised me, particularly growing up in Ohio, where my family runs a 50-50 rotation. So I was surprised to see more soybeans there. Actually, the other one that sort of surprised me was Iowa. And you always knew the northern half of the state was more corn, but it's the northeast corner with more, which a much heavier corn, and not the northwest where all the hogs are. So it's so that I don't know. It was just sort of interesting to look at.
Yeah, well, that's, I guess, kind of what you think about the northwestern corner of Illinois and you say, well, that's kind of dairy area. And then if you look
except all the dairy are gone.
Yeah. Well, I suppose you really need a map of where the dairies are to see how that looks.
By the way, that's not totally true, but there's
That does bring up an interesting question is, you know, by color, relatively speaking, or the darker the orange, the more the corn on this particular map. And Wisconsin is by far the heaviest corn state in the Corn Belt.
Yep, relative to soybean acres, Wisconsin has more corn acres and soybean acres by far than Illinois, Indiana definitely, and Iowa. And that would probably be attributed a lot to the dairy part of it. And maybe just tradition. Northern Illinois, a lot of that they do have very good corn yields, but is the economics that much different in Northern Illinois than in Central Illinois that it results in heavier corn rotations up there? I don't know.
The other place that strikes me is Kansas and the far western third of Kansas was just corn. And I assume it's corn and or wheat and a lot of it for the corn acres there. And no soybeans must be on, I guess it must be on pivots, center pivots, but I'm not sure. That's kind of the way it looks in Nebraska as well. So I think that probably follows down. But what really took me by surprise were the number of heavier bean acres in Kansas. Now, your map doesn't include wheat, so it's just a corn-soybean comparison. And you know, I was thinking that I've been into the northwestern corner of Kansas, rather northeastern corner of Kansas, next to Missouri, and just south of Nebraska. And that, in your map, shows up as a 50-50 rotation. I'm sure they have some wheat in that rotation as well, though maybe not as much. But the rest of the state, boy, she's a bean state. And I thought it was a corn state.
So if you're looking at corn relative to soybeans in that state, the eastern two-thirds of Kansas have more soybeans than corn. We didn't put the wheat acres in here in this particular map, but yeah, you do get a feel for we've seen a lot of soybeans being added into, you know, Kansas, Missouri, Kentucky, and we didn't go down further south, but I'm sure there are soybean acres in Mississippi and Louisiana and the southern states as well.
Well, it's a great map. It's fun to look at, and it's fun just to think about the distribution of corn and soybeans, and I suspect at some point you'll decide to add wheat into it just to see what that looks like too. But so much fun. Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That's Gary Schnitke. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On this Tuesday, let's check the weather forecast with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Looks like a nice week here in my part of the Corn Belt. How about where you are there in Cheyenne?
Not bad. In fact, a lot of the nation this week is going to enjoy mild November weather, pretty decent weather conditions. You know, last week we had snowstorms in the west. We had a hurricane along the Gulf Coast. This week things are a lot more settled, but it's just kind of a breather. We're going to go through the week and into the start of the weekend across most of the nation with some pretty quiet conditions. That's going to change next week, and I'll get started this weekend out in the Pacific Northwest and even into parts of California, going to see some wet weather move in.
Oh, well, they will like that relief, I'm sure, there. How quickly will we see it in the Midwest?
Well, you have, at least in the Midwest, through the weekend and probably into Monday to enjoy the warmer, fair conditions. There will be some colder air getting pushed out of the Northern Plains and the Rockies. It's going to be a slow process, but by, let's say, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week, do expect the Corn Belt, especially the northern western Corn Belt and the northern plains, to get colder. There's going to be a lot of cold air in the western states pushing slowly east. And by the end of next week, a lot of the lower 48 states will be quite a bit cooler than where we're going to be here over the next few days. So it does look like next week and the week after that, we should expect a colder regime across the lower 48 states. That includes the Corn Belt, and there's going to be some rain and snow with that colder weather as well.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate you checking out the next couple of weeks for me to look forward to talking with you again next week, too.
We'll see you then.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Now, Harry Cooney joins us from GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois, to take a look at the agricultural energies as we close out our time together today here on the Closing Market Report. Harry, thanks so much for being with us. What are you watching closely as farmers wrap up the harvest season in our state?
Well, good afternoon, Todd, on a beautiful late fall afternoon here. It's a great afternoon. When I was out at lunch, it was just absolutely gorgeous. And what we're watching is a couple things here. We're watching the virus around the U.S., but also around the world. I mean, on the past weekend, we started hearing some more limitations put on people over in parts of Europe, and that is that's negative for demand. It's not conducive to increasing demand. It's more of reducing demand. So now we're watching to see if more of those actions around the world continue to limit people's travel, limit being out and about and things like that. If it does, then it could be a little more negative for price here in the near term. Also, though, of course, right here on today, it's right in front of us is the election, obviously, and what impact that'll have will just remain to be seen. And we may not know for several days, obviously, like people are talking. So that'll be interesting. You know, we look at the energies, but we also look at a lot of outside markets. And it's interesting here that the stock market was up 300 to 400 yesterday, and it's been at various times throughout today. It's been up another 400 to 500 today. So some of those markets are liking what they're seeing, and I'm not sure which way they're exactly looking. But that's adding a little bit of support on our energy complex here throughout this election day.
So what was the effect, if you can take me back, to COVID-19 in the early portion of the year? So during that lockdown time frame of March and April, it would seem unlikely that many nations or states, either one, would be willing to lock that far down. But if things got bad enough, I suppose that might be the case.
Well, I agree. I don't think, even if things get a little worse, which it seems like that's kind of the trend right now with the virus, getting a little more active with the virus, and that my guess is that we won't go into something like what we had this spring. However, any efforts from here to somewhat help limit the virus tends to be dampening on fuel demand. It's not encouraging for fuel demand. And again, there's two sides of every market, supply and demand. I'm mostly just talking about the demand side. That's the one we're watching the closest here. We have adequate stocks of gasoline, diesel fuel, propane. We have adequate stocks. So we're mostly looking at the swing factor, which is the demand side of the market here. And that's what we're going to be watching here in the next several weeks, in the next several months, probably.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Helped us wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media.